Welcome to the Mind Forge, episode 8, Fake It Till You Make It. I'm Alex Nova, right? We sort of covered this topic in episode 7, Posture and Mindset, where you're using posture, where you can use posture to shift your biochemical, your physiology. You're going to release biochemicals to shift your physiology. You shift your nervous system activity to feel more confident, right? Upright posture versus a hunched posture. If you find yourself hunched over and you consciously make that decision to get upright and open the chest, your body is going to release biochemicals to send messages to that will make you feel more confident, like testosterone, for example, and reduce cortisol levels, make you feel less stressed just by shifting your posture, which in a way, that is what we're here to talk about. Fake it till you make it. I'm sure you're familiar with this idea of positive affirmations. Okay. You're going to say, like, I am someone that follows through. I am capable. I do manage my emotions. You're saying something to nudge you into the direction that you know you ought to be in. Sometimes people will say, you know, come up with affirmations that say who you want to be, the person you want to become. Now yoga has the science of mantra. It's been using mantra, which is essentially affirmations. For the most part, anyway, I think we can make that statement and be in the clear. Mantras are fake it till you make it. There is a mindset, a mental state that you want to have that you know is your birthright, and you're going to repeat that phrase until it becomes reality, until it sinks into your subconscious and becomes the new pattern. Mindset management, we are looking to uncover our belief framework, all the beliefs that are running on autopilot in our subconscious. We want to find them all out. Find out what they are, where they are, so we know if we want them. Beliefs are like a house, boards of a house. You're standing in the middle. Every belief is a board in the frame of this house. You can have so many beliefs that you are totally walled off from reality. A belief is not reality. It is simply a framework that your mind uses to filter your experience into a manageable amount of information. Sometimes those beliefs are self-destructive. That's where fake it till you make it comes into play. Yoga teaches that there are really two ways to change beliefs. You become fully aware of a belief and the power you get by that awareness allows you to override until it fades away. The other way is to create a new, stronger belief. I like to use this idea of a trail in the woods. And in a way, you know, the little trails in the human brain on the surface, right, in between those, all the little folds, you know, there's kind of this visual that even connects and can, for me, kind of helps dial everything in. But there's a hiking trail through a forest. You're using this trail. As you use the trail, it gets deeper, it becomes more established. When it rains, water is flowing down that mountainside, it's going to hit that trail and it's going to carve it out even more. That's a pattern. That trail is a belief. And the more it repeats, the more this craving repeats, the more an addiction asserts itself and repeats, the deeper and the stronger it gets. The more energy is going to want to flow through that existing craving. You want to get it, you want to drop this craving, you want to drop this addiction. I think, from my own experience with meditation and using yoga to get a handle on addictions, it's the best thing you can do is to create a new pattern. Now, doing that is going to require increasing self-awareness because you have to have knowledge over the existing pattern, the existing belief, that if I feel anxious, the best way for me to deal with that is to pick up a beer or to smoke that joint or whatever, rinse and repeat. And if I'm feeling frustrated and at a loss and like I'm just spinning my wheels, that the best thing for me to do is to go run 15 miles in the mountains and then spend the rest of the night sore and unable to walk and limping around the next day, then the best thing for that might not be the best thing for me to do. All these patterns are ones that, you know, I've definitely have dealt with. Now, you use awareness, mindfulness to become aware of the pattern, and then you got to fake it till you make it. You need to tell yourself that you do have power to manage your mind. If you have power to manage your mind, if you know and believe, if you believe and you know that you have the power to manage your mindset, then no addiction is going to exist. Proper mindset management, there is no addiction because you are in charge of your own mindset. So you need to at least start by telling yourself that you have the ability to do this. And you're likely already lying to yourself by telling yourself that you don't have power over your addiction, that you can't control the craving, that you can't do it, you can't meditate. Meditating's not for me. Yoga's not for me. Mindset is bullshit. You're probably already telling yourself 100 different variations of a lie that limits your power to manage your own mind. What I'm saying is, do the opposite. Tell yourself you do have the power, because it's true, you do. And for thousands of years, people have known that the easiest way, the cheapest way, is through the science of meditation. Meditation rewires the brain, the nervous system, your neural network, increases self-awareness. Both of these combined teaches you your belief framework. It teaches you your cravings and this knowledge of the craving gives you the power to override it. And sometimes you need a little nudge. You need to just tell yourself that I can do this. This is mindset. It's my mindset. It's not anyone else's mindset. If anyone is going to change it, it's going to be me. So when you, let's say you're willing to humor me and you want to give it a whirl, all right? There's a sample meditation in a previous episode, 5 or 6. I'm not sure which one it is right now. I'll put it in the show notes. Listen to that. That'll be kind of your basic meditation framework to get you into a mental space that you can then use a mantra, a positive affirmation, a white lie. Okay, I even hesitate to say white lie because from my view, everyone has the ability to manage their mind. It can be more difficult for some people, but it is still doable. You just have to start by putting that foot forward. Some people might have to walk a few more miles than the next person before they get to that place where they're able to manage the cravings. But that doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means that you might be starting from a mile back, which is what it is. So you use the basic meditation. You're sitting there. You're relaxed. You're observing your breath. You want to figure out what the cravings are. You wait. Thoughts come into your head. You notice a thought with a non-judgmental awareness, and you go back to the breath. The longer you do this, in my experience, the most disruptive memories that you have will come to the surface. In other words, like the shit that's giving you a problem is going to pop into your mind. Sometimes you have to sit there a long time. Sometimes you do. For me, it took before I wanted to teach meditation, I decided I was going to like dive into it. And I was doing like 20 minutes a day here and, you know, maybe miss a day, but trying to do 20 minutes a day for a couple of years. And then I was like, okay, now I really need to go deep. So I did 70 days of either an hour or an hour and a half. And after maybe a month, I was like, whoa, this one event was always coming into my awareness, but it would take like 45 minutes and then it would just be like, boom. And it would just always near the, after the second half of that hour and a half, it would just be like always in my consciousness. And then it took me like another month before I was like, okay, in order to deal with this, I'm going to have to just tell one person at least one person, because I had, you know, told myself I would never tell anyone about this memory, because it had caused just so much, just kind of self-imposed trauma into my psyche. I didn't want anyone to know about it. So I told one person, and it was like a weight, you know, is being lifted off of my shoulders. And maybe that's because it, in a way, it was like a layer of trust that was being built up, where I had just kind of eroded all willingness to trust, you know, possible. That just kind of pops in my head right now as I'm talking. I hadn't really thought about that too much before. And we've gone off on a freaking tangent, but the meditation practice for the idea of fake it till you make it, right? If you don't already know what you're craving is really rooted in, it can be very helpful, and I definitely recommend just meditating to get to the bottom of that. Now, the same process for getting into a meditative state, you just start telling yourself mentally or out loud that, you know, I have the ability to manage my mind. I can manage my mind. I have the mental strength to control my craving. I have control over my craving. I have control over my addiction. You might notice that this kind of like the opposite of what they tell you to do in 12 steps, where it's like, I use that. They want you to say, I'm powerless over my addiction. I think that everyone has power over their addictions, and it's much better to say you have the power over something than to act like you don't. Because, well, for one, like wine, it tastes freaking good. And if I'm going to say I'm powerless over the past behavior of using alcohol to numb social anxiety, then I would never be able to enjoy wine. That doesn't make any sense. Whereas if I have power over it, then I have the ability to control a craving and an addiction until it no longer exists in my mind. And then I can enjoy a glass of wine. And there's no like craving to have more. I don't have social anxiety anymore. In a typical setting, there's no craving to have alcohol just to go into a social setting. I think that's the fundamental difference between saying that you have the ability to control an addiction and that you have, that you're powerless to do so. To me, one is giving you the power to manage your mindset, and the other is saying that you really don't have the power to manage your mindset. And I think that you do. And so that's the Mind Forges podcast. The Mind Forge podcast is about giving you the tools to forge your own mind. And that's what it's all about. So yeah, give it a whirl. Tell yourself that you can do something, and then put in the groundwork so that that becomes the reality. All right. Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Mind Forge. If you want to help us out, please share with any of your friends, family that you think would want to listen to it. Also, like, subscribe, follow us. It's a good way to give us your support. We appreciate it. Take care. Bye.